Today FM's Dermot and Dave. Ask me. Dermot and Dave's Ask Me Anything.
With Lavazza Qualità Rossa, Italy's favourite coffee. A sip of joy.
On Today FM.
Introduce yourself.
Well, I'm Richard Chambers. I'm a reporter for Virgin Media News, Today FM. Ask me anything.
Ian Dixon is first up on Twitter, Richard, and he says, does Richard ever sleep?
I've slept better at different times, different years. Any year but 2020, you sleep pretty good. There's been times throughout, obviously, everything that's happened where you do, based on what you're hearing from people who are in the know, like health officials and stuff like that you stay up at night and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Stuff is difficult. I remember that particularly around March and April, really, were just so stressful.
Well, actually, Philip on Twitter asks, at what point did you realise COVID was getting serious here in Ireland? Can you pinpoint a day, an instance, or was it a general kind of run up to it?
It's kind of mad because we came into 2020 and we had the general election at the start of the year. Mm. And we were all looking at it like, this is the biggest thing. We're going to have the busiest part of the year. It's going to be in January. Yeah. And then it's going to be fine for the rest of the year. We can take the foot off
Two
the pedal.
2 months off, yeah.
2 weeks after the election, it all just went, so south so quickly.
Yeah.
There was a point, I think it was, it's just over 6 months ago now, and we were all outside the Department of Health when it started. You started hearing these reports about, coronavirus in Europe and in Italy in particular. Mm. And they called off, do you remember they called off Ireland versus Italy, the rugby match?
The rugby match, yeah.
And the IRFU suits were going into the Department of Health to meet Simon Harris. And they were like, what are you doing? And like, everybody was like, this is way too far to go. But then like, I was just chatting to people who I know in the Department of Health and they're like,
no,
guys, this is real.
Right.
And do you remember when Leo Varadkar did his speech in Washington?
Yeah.
That one was like, I just remembered, because there was a load of us journalists who were out and we were waiting to go into government buildings and we were all huddled around our phones. In a way, like, there's actually a photo of it now and we're like, oh my God, what are we doing? Get away from each other. You're way too close. Why is nobody wearing a mask? This is madness. And I remember just watching that and I was like, this is probably the biggest thing any of us are going to ever live through.
Yeah. Well, could you imagine what Leo Varadkar would have said if a fortune teller had told him how his career path was going to move from the start of 2020. You know, general election, and they've already bowed out. He's like, nah, I'm opposition, lads. Mm. I'm putting the feet up for a while. I'm
going to
be a professional complainer now for the next few years. And then suddenly he's back Taoiseach with the most pivotal role of a Taoiseach in the generations. And then he's tarnished it, but he's coming back as Taoiseach. Like, nobody could have worked that out.
It's just so mad. And I actually think, you know, we're all actually really conditioned to it now. Do you ever stop yourself? Like, if you're actually in a supermarket now and you look around, everyone's wearing masks, you have all these markers on the ground, you just think, go back and tell yourself,
oh yeah,
8 months ago, that this is actually how we're all going to be accustomed. And like, this is normal.
Yeah. Yeah.
The new normal is such an overused thing, but this is exactly what we all expect to see now.
It's proof how adaptable we are. I was a reporter, very bad one, back in the day. And on my first day doing a live report at the lunchtime news, all my notes blew away. They were on the roof of a car as they crossed live to me. So all that I could muster was, the court heard, and then a gap, and then back to you in the studio.
Do you know what? There are people who'd probably say that was the best thing you could have done. For court stuff in particular, you just can't get anything wrong.
You can't wing it, no.
So you just... Okay, bye!
have you had any disasters or things go wrong for you when you've been out and about? Lads standing behind you going, oh, no, yeah.
I've tried to like block that out, because that does happen. You'll have people who will walk past and they might shout something a bit unsavory, or they might just start shouting, yo, stuff like that. Like,
I'm on the telly, man.
Which I always find is like, the worst thing is when you're actually not even live and people are just going, way! Guys, you're wasting your own time.
I usually find proximity to the forecourts usually increases the chances of that happening.
It happens everywhere.
Cocaine!
That was an interesting one. Yeah. But like, yeah, it's difficult. You kind of have to just like zen out.
Yeah. A lot of the news you have to deliver isn't good news. And Ray on Instagram asked, do you ever get abuse online from people for just delivering bad news that maybe they don't want to hear?
Yeah, I suppose you can understand that as well, though, can't you? Like, I mean, if people are being told, especially with everything that's happening now, all the restrictions and, you know, the really dark stuff that we do have to report on a daily basis, people will get upset and frustrated about that. And like, you do get people who will just tweet nonsense at you, but also some people who are just genuinely upset by what they're hearing. And if you're essentially the messenger for that in some ways, it's to be expected. I mean, there's a difference really between that, I think, and sort of online personal abuse, which can be really bad. And but I'm like, I'm in a fairly privileged position. I do not get as bad as a lot of people out there.
Well, you say that, but Mr. Brian McFadden and you, and you knew this would come up.
I knew this would come up.
Anne-Marie on Twitter wants to know, would you fight Brian McFadden for charity? Can you just give people a quick rundown of the Brian McFadden history? Because look, let's face it, you, like most of us, you were a fan.
I mean, the man has had some bangers over the years. He's had a great career. I have no bad feeling towards Brian McFadden. What happened was, there was a popular meme. It was out last week. It was about, this is the most painful cancellation yet. It was somebody, I think it was, used to be on the Fast show in the UK, the comedy show, and one of the other people cancelled or just blocked him on Twitter, and he posted up a tweet from her asking her, like, why did she block him? And it looked ridiculous, because it was like, why would you own yourself so badly? And everybody just started taking it off with, like, people who'd blocked them and stuff like that. And I had been blocked previously. I think it was around the time Brian McFadden said something about he wants to fight ISIS man to man. And I quote tweeted it, and I thought, I was just making a sort of a quick gag about it, I'm sure. It's probably okay. And so I just put it up as a sort of a meme, just a friendly, just like, this is a popular meme of the day. Somebody must have tagged him in it, and he didn't take it.
You've been blocked by Brian McFadden.
I have been blocked by Brian McFadden, yeah.
Well, the Dave is being very quiet about his spat with Brian McFadden on Twitter.
What was it he called me?
He called you a sickening twat.
Wow. It was something along those lines.
Just on the thing of a charity fight, rather do a charity single. We could do...
Oh, now you're talking.
That's what we should do.
Yeah. Can you ever really switch off on days off or annual leave when news stories can break at any time? I mean, can you go on holidays and just totally go, I'm not going to listen to the news or get involved or...
It's really hard these days. And I actually feel really sorry for my family, my girlfriend as well. Because I'm just constantly, like, it's almost like a reflex. My phone just comes out of my pocket out of nowhere. It's like, oh, they'll never guess what they're doing now. especially when we have, like, Virgin Media, we're really lucky to have some really excellent reporters, and their updates are just brilliant online. Like Gavin Riley, formerly of This Parish, you know, Zara King, you know, Paul Quinn, Deborah Dana, loads of really great journalists right across the board. And, like, their updates are really good. So I'm constantly like, it's very hard to get out of the loop now these days. Yeah. I've become a little bit better at it. I do think now, like, there's been days now where I've just shut off the phone and I've been off for 2 weeks, and I'll take a couple of days where the phone just does not go on.
Okay.
In terms of in news, we've seen how much everyone else's work schedules have changed. People working from home and all that. Hard to do when you're a reporter. Here I am, not at the place where I'm meant to be in my garden. Has your work schedule or sort of a journalist's work schedule changed a lot over the last while?
Totally. Everything is completely different, and even in how we do our job. So previously, before the COVID, we would have you'd have teamed up with your camera operator for the day. You'd have gone into the office first in Virgin Media News. You'd have teamed up with your camera operator. You'd have traveled to wherever the story is together. You'd be sitting in the car together, working away on notes and all of that sort of stuff. Mm. All of your interviews would be done in person. You can have big media scrums of journalists who are all squashed in together like sardines. All of that's gone now. Mm. So basically how it works is that we all have to travel separately. You're doing interviews at a social distance. So you might see us actually out and about in Dublin or Cork or wherever with really long, look like broomsticks with microphones on the
handles,
end of it.
Yeah.
Or you're doing stuff over Skype or Zoom or WhatsApp as well. So it's kind of, again, you kind of just have to innovate on the fly.
I am a Bohemians fan. Now, I believe you're a season ticket holder, so you're a bigger fan than I am. But somebody asked, it's a very good question from Ian and Mary and Colette. A lot of people want to know, if you could choose one of these things to happen in the future, what would it be?
Oh my God.
Clare to win the All-Ireland or Bowes to win the League of Ireland?
You see, the thing about this is, whatever I say is going to annoy a lot of people close to me.
And you have
I've been really lucky to see Clare win the All-Ireland 3 times in my lifetime.
Okay.
I'm taking Bowes to win a League of Ireland, especially being back in a stadium again. Mm. Do you know? Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah.
At some point in the future.
Right, Claire, unleash hell upon Richard Chambers there. Listen, thank you for taking part in Ask Me Anything today.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Richard, I think the least you deserve, or you least you owe us, is a quick back to you in the studio.
Back to you in the studio. it's either that one or we have... we have on the reverse side. We all have catchphrases almost when you get thrown to.
Oh, yeah.
We all tend to say things like, oh, that's right, or well, Colette, or that's right, Colette. it's just because you're trying to organise the rest of your thoughts. Like, so yeah, that's, we have the reverse of that. Or what I say is otherwise it'd be Dermot, Dave, right at the end of it, like very officially.
Oh, yeah, you just use the names. Because you'd be like, Colette. Yeah,
Dave, there you go.
Okay, well, Richard Chambers from Virgin Media News, thank you very much.
Dermot, Dave.
Ask me. Dermot and Dave's Ask Me Anything.
With Lavazza Qualità Rossa, Italy's favourite coffee. A sip of joy.
On Today FM. Dermot and Dave. Listen live, on air, from 9 a.m. weekdays on Today FM.